was now and turned to Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought, and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Our subject today is this. Three great truths that are found in the book of Jonah. Today again we shall look at the first chapter of the book of Jonah and find these wonderful, marvelous realities or truths that are found in this portion of the Word of God. They are known by all the believers and will be known by all who ever come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the sad category of today is this, that the vast majority don't understand what these truths are. Many of them have never even heard them preached. And I hope today that if you've never heard these truths preached to you, that the Holy God, the Lord God of heaven, who is holy and mighty and gracious and good, He will just take and apply these realities to your heart. So you listen carefully, because we're not only setting forth how God saves a sinner in this portion of the Word of God, but we find also that there are many wonderful, marvelous truths that are set forth in this portion that we need to look at carefully. Now, as I've said before, we'll say again, we hope you're getting a blessing out of these things, out of these lessons, as much as we are getting a blessing in preparing them and also setting them forth before you by means of radio. We preach this series of sermons in our own church, and beloved, the Lord used them in a great way. And it's our prayer that the Lord will use these messages in a great way for His glory and for the salvation of His elect, as well as for the edification of His people. All right, now let's look at the three great truths that are found in Jonah. First of all, there is the providence of God set forth in this portion of the Word of God. Secondly, there is the truth also of particular redemption set forth in this portion of the Word of God. And then thirdly, there is also the personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ as it's set forth in this portion of the Word of God. Now, if we don't get through with them at this hour, we'll pick them up next time where we leave off, and then we'll just follow along. So that's why I urge you, you ought to follow along carefully, and you ask your friends to do the same thing. You call them up and tell them to listen to the broadcast, and then you pray for us as we set forth these great truths. Now, let's look at this portion of the Word of God and see, first of all, the providence of God. Now, God is a God of providence. And the sad thing of today is this, the vast majority of so-called Christian people know nothing about the providence of God. God's providence is not preached, it's not known, it's not experienced, And when it is talked about, individuals sit back in amazement and they begin to scoff at it. Yet we find that God's providence is working out His counsel, or working out His purpose, I should say, after the counsel of His own will. Now let's look at God's providence as it's set forth in this portion of the Word of God. First of all, we want to set forth before you the meaning of the term providence. Listen to what it says. God, who is infinitely wise, good, and powerful, is everywhere present, controlling all events, great or small, necessary and free, in a way perfectly consistent with the nature of His creatures and with His own infinite excellence, so that everything is ordered by His own will and is made to serve His purpose. Now, what are we talking about? In other words, God controls everything. He knows what's going on at this hour. He knows whether or not you're going to listen very long, or whether or not you're going to turn this radio dial off, and He knows whether or not you're ever going to get saved. And, beloved, He knows what's going to happen to you before the day is out, if you hear us in the morning, or He's going to know what's going to happen to you during the rest of the next day, if you hear us in the evening. Now, we mean by God's providence, we mean this, that He controls all events, great or small, necessary and free, in a way perfectly consistent with the nature of His creatures and with His own infinite excellence, so that everything is ordered by His will and made to serve His purpose. Now let me give you some scripture on that if I may. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 we read, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." Now notice that. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Then in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, and we find verses 34 and 5, here again you have God's providence as it's described for us and set forth in the Word of God. "And at the end of days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto them or unto Him, What doest thou?" Now notice that. God works all things after the counsel of His will. He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? Now this is the definition of the providence of God. Now what in the world does this mean? It means that the providence of God is that which upholds all things at this hour. In other words, the providence of God also includes, I should say, the preservation of all things. Beloved, today, this world is a marvel in itself. Here we are on a planet which is not very big. It's spinning round and round at the rate of 15 miles per second as it goes through its orbit, and yet none of us are flying off. This is God, and He keeps all things after the counsel of His own will, and then He preserves all things, and we find that according to His word, and we see it set forth day in and day out, that this does not fail. The sun doesn't fail to rise, neither does it fail to set. We find that we have springtime and harvest, we have summer and winter, we have spring and fall, and we find that we have a planting and a harvesting, we have a gathering together, and we see that God brings it all out together, and it all works out after the counsel of His own will. You see, God's providence also includes preservation. Now in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, we read, "Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person," listen now, "and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." You see, God upholds all things by the word of His power. The providence of God includes preservation. All things are upheld by the word of His power, and this includes the nature and the animal world. Again, let me urge you, if I may, take your Bibles now, and you turn back with me to Acts chapter 14, and we find in verse 17, the Word of God brings this out concerning the providence of God. Listen to it. Acts chapter 14 and verse 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Here you see God's providence. It includes nature, and it includes the animal world. Now take your Bibles away again, if you will, and turn back to Psalm 104. And we find in Psalm 104, beginning with verse 14, down through verse 22, this again sets forth God's providence. Listen to it. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth it's his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Now this is God's providence. It includes preservation. All things are upheld by the word of God's power. And we find this includes also nature and the animal world. Now listen carefully. The providence of God also includes not only nature and animal world, but it includes the government of this nation or of the nations also. Again, let me urge you, if I may, you turn back to Psalm chapter 66. And we find these words are set forth very clearly for our learning. Psalm chapter 66, and we see it set forth that God controls all the nations of this earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Selah, come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Here you have God's providence concerning the nations. Turn now, if you will, to Daniel chapter 2. And we find in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, again, you have these words set forth. Listen to it, if you will. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret thing. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Here you see the providence of God. It includes government also. In other words, it includes the nations. We find God sets up one nation, brings down another. He sets up one ruler, brings down another ruler. Because the providence of God not only includes nature and the animal world, but the providence of God includes the governments of this world also. Then it includes the nations. But, beloved, it narrows down even to including individuals. You see, it's by the providence of God you've been caused to listen to this broadcast at this hour. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we find it speaks of the nations and individuals that God includes in His providence. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. You see, God's providence includes and controls all events, whether they be great or small, necessary or and free, in a way that is perfectly consistent with the nature of His creatures, as well as with His own infinite excellence, so that everything is ordered by God's will and made to serve His purpose. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know this God, my friend? Oh, if you don't, rest assured of one thing. You're going to meet Him. Now the motive of God's providence is this. It's to carry out the design and the purpose of the Lord God of heaven. Now what in the world does that have to do with our text today? You remember why the Lord sent that great wind in the sea? He sent the wind after Jonah. You see, it was God's providence that Jonah was to go to the city of Nineveh. And it was God's will that Jonah was to go there. And we find God's providence carries out the design and purpose of the Lord God of heaven. It also guarantees that the plan and will of the Lord will be executed. Remember, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Now God's providence makes use of all things that are necessary and free, whether they be great or small. With regard to Jonah, He used the wind to bring Jonah down into the sea so that God's providence would carry out His purpose. Now, God's providence does not infringe or take away the liberty of man. And rest assured, my friend, that one of these days you're going to meet this great God of providence. And if you haven't met Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, my hope and my prayer is that even now God will begin to stir your heart and cause you to see and realize that you're going to meet this great God, the God who is the God of providence. He controls all things, and you know He has provided a way of salvation for you and me. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's means of redemption. My hope is that even now the Lord will stir your heart and bring you unto a saving knowledge of Himself. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.